I'm in a different place tonight, live from the Butch Foster Memorial Studios in the Twin Cities, somewhere on the midway between Minneapolis and St. Paul. My name is Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM. 30 years in broadcasting. And next hour may be the most irresponsible thing I've ever been a part of on the radio. I mean, because there's no way this guy could ever be right. Right? I mean, he goes against everything that's ever been said. Unless Dr. Bill Douglas is right. In which case, then everybody else has been wrong. That's a pretty big gamble. I mean, it means conventional medical and scientific wisdom would have to be completely off base on this. And there's just no way that that could ever happen, right? We'll find out next hour. Some crypto news, and let us start with a mention of what's going on in New Orleans at this hour. Drudge Report sums it up best with this headline, just simply, "Get out." And our thoughts are with those of the Gulf Coast, where around New Orleans, the freeways are jammed, gas stations are running dry as people rush to get out of the way of Hurricane Katrina, this vicious storm that is gaining even more strength as it heads toward New Orleans. The quote from the mayor was, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a test. This is the real deal. Board up your homes. Make sure you have enough medicine. Make sure the car has enough gas. Do all the things you normally do for a hurricane, but treat this one differently because it is pointed towards New Orleans, a city which, as we all know, already is underwater. Right now, Katrina is a Category 3 storm. It could reach Category 4 status as it heads over the Gulf of Mexico, where the surface water is as high as 90 degrees, and that is high-octane fuel for hurricanes. It could become a Category 4 monster, with winds of at least 131 miles per hour before reaching land early on Monday. And yet, it isn't just the wind that people are worried about. It's that wall of water. Look what's already happened to Florida. And Florida is above sea level. A Texas farmer may have found what some would call a chupacabra, a story from Coleman, Texas. I'm guessing George reported on this earlier in the week, but I just received so many copies of this story from people, I had to promise to read it. A man set a trap last week after a number of his chickens and turkeys were killed. What he found in his trap was a mix between a hairless dog, a rat, and a kangaroo. And it's a photo unlike anything I've ever seen. The mystery animal has been set in for test to determine what it is. Still no word yet. This is a story that you can find at Yahoo today. Small gullies on Mars were carved by water recently, according to NASA. Small gullies on Mars carved by water recently. This is one of those new things which some people have been saying for a long time on Coast to Coast. Paging Mr. Richard C. Hoagland. Mr. Richard C. Hoagland, please proceed to the nearest red courtesy phone. A space boulder may be responsible for some of our weird atmospheric anomalies this year. Some unusual weather and patterns may be related to a space boulder estimated at about 1,000 tons that entered the upper atmosphere above Antarctica last year, almost a year ago. Friction with air molecules has been stripping away at this boulder, and these particles that are coming off from this are larger than usual. Scientists are still trying to determine exactly what effect this has on our atmosphere and weather patterns. A giant iron ball at the center of the Earth appears to be spinning a bit faster than the rest of the planet. You may have heard that story reported earlier in the week. Still no explanation of how scientists can tell that for sure. This sounds ripe for one of those stories which gets contradicted later on. But if there is an inner iron ball spinning in the middle of the planet, it would seem to be something which could be harnessed for energy, and I'm just waiting for more people to comment on that. From New York, the U.S. drug company Merck & Company almost seemed to be listening to last week's show, the first hour that we had Dr. Abramson on, talking about the overdosing of America. And now Merck says they might be considering settling a small number of Vioxx cases involving people who claim they were harmed by the painkiller. But at the same time, they're saying they're not changing their strategy of fighting every case in court. I'm not making that up. The company's general counsel stressed that Merck has not changed its strategy of fighting every case in court, but it will settle some of them. Okay. So, again, next hour's guest is completely irresponsible. There's no way he could ever be right, because that would mean so many companies would have to be wrong, right? Back to a guest from a few weeks ago, Howard Bloom. Two men, one living in Turkey and the other in Morocco, have been arrested on suspicion of unleashing the Zotab and the Mitab computer worms that have wreaked havoc on computer networks worldwide in the past 2 weeks. Turkish police arrested these two men on information supplied by computer crime specialists at the FBI and at Microsoft. Howard Bloom's been talking about that type of terrorism, that type of cyber terrorism, how it's overdue, and that we're just beginning to see perhaps the newest form of an Al-Qaeda attack. Federal and local law enforcement agencies in Tennessee and Kentucky are on alert for a potential Al-Qaeda tie-in after a truck filled with aviation fuel was stolen Friday morning from a Kentucky airport. Officials there with the local Office of Homeland Security said the truck was stolen from an airport in Greenville, Kentucky. Officials say the truck was filled with approximately 1,400 gallons of jet fuel. It was driven through a fence that surrounds the airport property. It's highly flammable, and we don't really know what the purpose might be of someone taking it, said the local official. We don't know if somebody thought it was a regular gasoline truck and took it. The airport manager says he doesn't think the thieves were part of a terror plot, but were more likely attracted to the lure of free jet fuel. Hey, it's Tennessee and Kentucky. Some of those guys might be just thinking it'd be just good for a barbecue. We'll just have to wait till we hear one of those stories about three injured in a tragic weenie roast. You heard it here first. British family protests bizarre death on Rhodes. In a tale that sounds like a lurid tabloid detail, the British family of Christopher Rochester, killed in an accidental fall from an apartment balcony in Rhodes last year, is taking legal action against Greece because their son's body was returned minus a kidney. A newspaper in the hometown in England reports that this boy was killed June 11th, 2000, visiting his brother 4 days after arriving in Rhodes in Greece. And though he was injured in the 40-foot fall, British medical tests indicate that the wounds should not have been fatal. Attending paramedics told the still conscious Rochester that he had just received a big bang on his head, for which he later received several stitches, but less than 3 hours later, he was dead. When his body was flown home to England, it was missing a kidney. And when the family complained, another kidney was sent that was not related to the boy. All of his brother's clothes were missing when the boy's brother, Keith, was initially asked to identify somebody else's body. So it was a mix-up right away when he went in to report it, and then he was told that the kidney had been removed for a toxicology test. British hospitals, of course, have their own missing organ scandal to deal with, but it's a mystery at this point whether the boy could have been involved in a donation against his will. And by the way, since we're in England, this story: members of Britain's elite have been selected as priority cases to receive scarce pills and vaccinations at the taxpayer's expense if the country is hit by a deadly bird flu outbreak. Now, you may have heard earlier this week, some scientists are saying it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when this bird flu could get traction in England. So you can understand why people are fearful, except the BBC and some prominent politicians who would be offered protection from the virus. If there is an avian flu pandemic in the coming months, there would be enough drugs to protect less than 2% of the British population for a week. And the people that are on the top of the list are at the top of British society. And then there is that other story that lingers. From the very first time that I had a chance to report it, the story of the mysterious scream in Ohio, the one that has no known origin but is raising the hair on the backs of people's necks who hear it, even people who hear it on tape, like many of you did earlier this week when George Norrie played the audio from it. Well, if you missed it, I'm going to play it again. And then I got a story I got to throw into you from somebody named Cindy in Waynesville, Ohio, who has her own story to tell about that scream. Next, your email and your phone calls to this hour on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. We heard the story. It is getting some national play, and it was heard nationally earlier this week on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie as well. This is the sound of that scream. This scream, which residents near Dayton have been hearing, which has no known origin. They've already investigated. The press is investigating it. Police are investigating it. Yet people keep hearing it. No explanation yet for this. Now, there is an explanation out there somewhere for that story. I mean, it can't happen from just one person walking around and doing that, not in the way that it has been heard and experienced. Hear it again. That sound was going through my mind when I read this story from Cindy. She had written last week from Waynesville, Ohio, after the first time we reported the story. She said, about 1 year ago, I got a phone call in the middle of the night from my best friend, Scott, who is a semi-truck driver. The company he drives for has their main semi-yard about 10 miles directly south of Liberty, Ohio. Scott was returning to the yard in the wee hours of the morning, and he witnessed something along the side of the road that absolutely terrified him. He called me, absolutely terrified, she said. Now, she makes this point that Scott is the most honest person that she knows and would not lie about something like this. He described to me a man with a huge dog head, all black, kneeling on the side of the road, eating a dead deer. And as Scott described it to Cindy, this was the soul-shattering scream that he heard. Roll it. Scott told her that he had pulled up to a stoplight, and to his left in the distance, he could see something down the road in the darkness moving between the street lights. He could not believe what he had just seen. They joked around about it at the time. This is before this story came out about the scream. Now we call it man dog. And have even made up a stupid song they call the Man Dog Song, just to kind of, you know, take the edge off it a bit. But as Cindy says, this event affected Scott's entire life because of how scared it made him. Now, that's what we're hearing so far. We look forward to hearing from you. And as this story continues to grow in Ohio and there are more witnesses, we encourage you to let us know what you know. And also for those people in New Orleans tonight, remember that you're not alone. And feel free to call in as we go to open lines coming up on Coast to Coast AM. I've got some email to share, and I'll do that. First, let's grab Greg east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM. Greg?
Hi, Ian. I wanted to talk about the tsunami. I really think, you know, people are always going on about blaming God for all this, you know. And what if God allowed that to happen to prevent a cataclysmic disaster, let's say, 5 years from now?
Well, there's a lot of people that try to figure that sort of stuff out all the time. And
well, the thing is that the billions of dollars that went to those countries and the food and medicine, they're able to rebuild and they're able to concentrate on rebuilding their infrastructures. And let's just say that a famine starts right now, or a drought that leads to a famine, and say 700 million people are dead within 5 years. And because of the tsunami, as terrible as that was, all this, you know, all this money and food and medicine, they can concentrate on their economy. And, you know, and when this thing does come, if it comes, you know, they'll be able to deal with it.
Well, I know that I just saw a story tonight about how fertile the soil is in some areas
right. As
a result of this, and that they're expecting some bumper crops to come out of it. I don't know. It's always worth wondering. Did you happen to see that piece last week on 60 Minutes about that sort of nomadic tribe of people that live around the Pacific Rim?
No.
That they knew the tsunami was coming.
Uh-huh.
And they knew it just because of the stories that had been passed down for years. And as soon as they saw the sea acting a certain way,
sure,
they started getting the word out. And only certain people believed them. They would try to tell people, oh, no, this is... And they said, well, how do you know it hasn't happened? And they said, because we've been told the stories.
Right.
And every single one of them survived. There wasn't one death amongst that tribe of people all throughout the islands on where they lived.
You know what? I think God's on our side. I really do. I think people really need to quit blaming him for things. He knows what's going on, and it's really something to think about, you know.
Well, we'll leave that there for now and let people think about that, and we'll get some other calls coming up. We'll give you the numbers if you need it. Do we have, you said Brett in Ohio? Let's get him on Coast to Coast AM. Is it Brett?
Yes.
Have you heard the sound?
No, I was listening on the radio and I heard about the screams, and you guys played the bit from it. I was just wondering how did someone got that on tape?
I think that was from somebody who had sent that into the local newspaper. They had somebody who had heard it and recorded it, sent it to the newspaper, sent in their name. I mean, has not been like, you know, it wasn't something that just fell over the transom or something.
Uh-huh.
So it was part, and it was on the website of one of the affiliates, which has been covering the story on TV.
Really? Because I heard that, and that scream is really, really creepy. Real creepy scream.
You mean this scream? Where do you live in Ohio?
Marysburg.
Okay, how far away is that?
Oh, man.
Not far enough.
<That's... Yeah.
laughs> All right. Have a good
Thanks
night.
Thanks a lot,
man. Have a good night, and be careful as you're traveling, as you're out and about. But it is not a surprise these days that so many people are capturing both sound and images that they might never have caught before. I realize it still doesn't mean that it's not a setup. But it should also be noted that with the number of cell phones and personal electronic devices that have a recording mechanism on it, or one that records images as well as sound, I would expect more of this on the way, not less. Even my kids have a little personal recorder that they bring along with them and they record different sounds all the time, and then play and minutes at a time. So we'll just have to wait and see what more can be learned about that sound. And we'll just have to wait till next hour. I won't even read to you the resume of our guest. I'll just remind you again. I know that if he's right, how many people have to be wrong? I know how unlikely that sounds and how there's almost no chance that that could possibly be unless he is. Coming up next, we'll do some email. Lots from last week, especially about giant sex on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. We will get your calls coming up in just a minute, but one call has to come first. We have made contact with the central character in the story we just told. We actually have Scott, the truck driver, on hold, coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Other calls and other emails coming up on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett, and Scott, the semi-truck driver, is on the phone with us. I just read your story as told by Cindy. She said that she couldn't do it justice in her email. How did we do on the air with it, Scott? Is that about right?
Yeah, everything except for me actually hearing a scream. I didn't hear anything. It just sat there staring at me.
Oh, really? Okay, she said that... that's not what I had here. So you never heard the sound that we were playing on the air?
No, actually, I got back early the other day and drove up to Liberty and sat there to listen for it.
And but nothing?
I didn't hear it.
Well, let's talk about this because there's a few details in this story there that I think Cindy alludes to that we didn't cover. So talk about what happened to you. And do you feel then that this could be, as Cindy implies, a connection between the scream that people are hearing in Ohio and what you saw that night?
Yeah, given the distance. And I just listened to the scream earlier on the show, and I got goosebumps all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's creepy.
So you're coming home, it's late at night, and it's on a road where you don't often see other people at that hour?
No, I came in the back way, it's a two-lane country road. And as I came around the corner, my headlights hit this thing sitting on the side of the road. I couldn't tell what it was at first, it was black. And it froze, and as I got closer to it, I came within about 20 feet, and I brought the truck to a stop. And I was staring at it, and it looked kind of like an ape with a dog's head, pointy ears, long muzzle. It was sitting there. It turned its head, and it just froze and stared at me.
Now, you
didn't
say
move.
You say looked like an ape in terms of its body looked like an ape?
The body. Have you seen the movie Van Helsing?
Yes.
Okay, it looked just like that. The head was different, but the body shape on the werewolf I seen and the werewolf in that movie were almost identical.
And you would say that what you saw was, what you would swear on a stack of Bibles was a werewolf.
I don't want to call it that. That's why I call it. And I don't want to believe that something like that can exist. But after being 20 feet from one and staring right at it, it was a werewolf.
So you stare.
I would swear on a stack of Bibles that is exactly what I saw.
You know, Cindy swears by you and says you're an honest guy. This isn't the kind of thing that you tell that it sort of improves your social status, is it?
No, I haven't told very many people at all, and I was surprised when she said she sent the email to you guys. I've been listening to you for 14 years, but I didn't even think about calling because, you know, 99% of people out there are going to, yeah, what a bunch of BEA.
Right, you know, or you're drinking or some other implication.
Or you were really tired.
Right.
But I know dogs don't have hands, you know, and this thing was reaching up towards its mouth with a big chunk of that deer in its hand.
So it was pulling off pieces of a deer. Do you suspect that it was a deer carcass, like a previous truck might have hit it, or that it had a fresh kill of its own on the roadside?
I went back the next morning because I didn't believe what I'd seen. And the deer was laying there about 10 feet off the side of the road, torn open, with big pieces of it missing. And there was a couple footprints in the soft dirt headed back up into the hill. When I drove past it, after I realized what it was, I like freaked out, and I took off in the truck. And as soon as I got past it, I stuck my head out the window to look back, and it was gone.
And
I think it's just like, I think I caught it by surprise. It was like maybe so busy doing what it was doing, it forgot to pay attention to what was around it.
Right.
And when my headlights hit it, it just froze. It turned its head to look at me. I was kind of crouched down.
Right.
Reaching up towards its mouth with the hand full of deer meat. And I just stay there. It didn't move its hand. It didn't move its head. It just stared at me.
And it was.
And I got it. I mean, I got a really good look at it. My headlights were pointed right at it.
And it was pulling bloody flesh off the carcass.
Right. It was still fresh the next morning. So it was. I couldn't tell if it actually killed it or maybe it had been hit. My theory is that it's eating deer instead of people, obviously, because I think it's got to be smart. No one sees them. I never see them. I always thought it was a myth until I seen that one.
And what did you do right afterward? You see this, you call Cindy, but who else do you tell?
I didn't tell anybody. I don't think anyone would believe me. I told my father.
What did he say?
He believed me. He believed I seen something. The funny thing is, about a month ago, he called me and told me he thought he'd seen it.
So you thought your dad had thought he had seen it too?
Yeah, sitting with its back towards him. Because it said it was way too big to be a dog. And the first thing that popped into my head was what you had told me. And I was like, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. And especially the way it's sitting, which as it's sitting and feeding, that's just unlike a dog that you had seen. That's when it looks more like an ape.
No, it was sitting like, if you crouch down to pick something up off the ground.
Sure.
It was sitting in that crouched position. It was not sitting like a dog would sit with its butt on the ground.
When you say all black, do you mean it had black hair? Or
black
could
fur.
You,
it was
black
it
fur.
Solid black fur.
And
it looked like that werewolf on the movie Van Helsing. Its head was different, though.
Okay.
The body shape was the same. The same backward legs, like a dog's legs.
Right.
The same size body. It was probably just about the same size as one of those things. Its head was more narrow, and its ears were bigger, and the teeth were smaller. I just watched that movie again, so I would know how to describe it.
And so, as Cindy said, that it let out a scream as you passed, that's the one thing she didn't get right.
No.
Okay.
It didn't make a sound. Now, once it seen me, and it froze. Like a statue, it just didn't move.
And
it was staring right at me, but it wouldn't move. And as soon as I drove past it, I looked back because there was a lot of moonlight out. It was either like a day before the full moon, or the day after, right around the period.
Wouldn't that figure?
Yeah, well, the screams started, last week? And that was the full moon.
So let's hear that scream one more time. Just roll it just so we can hear it. And just out of curiosity, tell me, Scott, what you hear in this scream next. Roll it. Go ahead. Is that too Hollywood to be believed?
Kind of. It's on a loop, isn't it?
Yeah, it repeats a couple of times.
Yeah. The first thought I had is like, maybe that would be like a new werewolf or something. First, something tells me that if you were a werewolf for a long time, after a while, changing wouldn't bother you. But maybe the first couple times you did, you would scream. I don't know.
Well, let's leave that there.
I believe in them now because I've seen one. I don't want to see it. I don't even want to think about that. Call it man dog because I don't want to think it's real, but it is. Every day I drive past that place, I think about it every single time.
If you could unsee it, would you?
I don't know. Yeah. That'd be nice to go back to believing that they were just in the movies.
We'll leave it there. Thank you, Scott, for your time.
You're welcome.
Drive carefully.
I do. Thank you. Have
all
a good
right.
night.
You too. I think there are a few people who have heard that scream in Ohio that also wish they could unhear it. Should we do some email and then a couple of phone calls if we have time? Brandon wrote to say, did you hear that JC mentioned you on Sunday? And is it true what you said on your show? Well, I did not hear that JC mentioned me, I guess, when he was on with Art. And yes, it is true, whatever it was that I said. Maybe he's referring to the part about how if somebody was remote viewing me here in the studio, I'd put my pants back on. Hi, Ian, Joy writes, most of us here in Louisiana, and especially those of us in the New Orleans area, are facing the prospect of a direct hit from Hurricane Katrina early on Monday morning. Predictions indicate that landfall Katrina will be at Cat 4 or 5 that will cause widespread destruction and devastation. Forecasters are fearful that this is the big one that we all knew would one day occur. I live in New Orleans, and we are totally surrounded by water. Lake Pontchartrain, the Gulf of Mexico, the Mississippi River, along with numerous bayous, rivers, and waterways, lap at our doorsteps and wait to devour our communities in southeast Louisiana. In the past, Art and George have experimented with group positive thinking sessions to thwart possible disasters. Ian, could you please help us here in Louisiana by holding a listener session to help deter this disaster? We've been through some real tough times down here lately. Many of our people are unemployed and have no money to rebuild their homes and lives. We need a miracle. Can you help us? Well, Joy, of course, I cannot, but I believe that the divine can and that people can. And if people are inclined to pray, whether for divine intervention, if that's your belief, or just praying that people do their best, stay focused, give their best for each other, then pray for a miracle for the people of the entire Gulf Coast area. Because right now they need it, and they could use a break. And some positive thinking of whatever type you're willing to give them could only help. Kurt in Milwaukee says there was a mockumentary that appeared on FX in early June called Oil Storm. In the first segment, a hurricane bears down on Louisiana on Labor Day weekend 2005. That was in the movie that ran earlier this summer on FX. As a result, a major pipeline was busted and oil shot up to over $70 per barrel. That almost happened on Friday when there was a disruption in the oil flow in the Gulf because of Katrina. Guess where oil is now and look where Hurricane Katrina is heading. The rest of the movie had several other events that would cause oil to reach $175 per barrel by March, including terrorist attacks by extremists towards Westerners in Saudi Arabia after the Saudis agreed to increase production, troops being deployed to guard Saudi refineries, one of which is blown up in a Christmas Day terrorist attack, and a harsh winter that kills thousands in Boston alone, all of whom were unable to pay for heating bills. The U.S. thinks that they'll be able to buy oil from Russia in this mockumentary on FX, only to find out that they've been outbid by China. Hope the rest of the film isn't as prophetic as the first part. And Kurt, don't be surprised if FX plays that again coming up soon. George in Torrespinos, California, population 500, points out a website called peakoilclock.com. Peakoilclock.com. P-E-A-K, peak. It shows a clock, the countdown to the end of oil as we know it. Kathy reminds us there's an attempt to organize a nationwide gas strike from 8:29 through 8:31. It's coming up. Michael says, I'm looking forward to your show on Saturday about tobacco. As I'm sure you know, Native Americans have always used tobacco as an important part of their spiritual path. The smoke is said to carry our prayers to God. Maybe that will help people in New Orleans. Could you please ask your guest if there are qualities to tobacco that can produce an expanded state of consciousness and aid one on a spiritual path? Well, if we did, that would be some of the more mainstream questions we'll be asking our guest coming up. By the way, somehow there's an ongoing topic in the email about my lack of facial hair. Mike, and I'm quoting Mike here, says, Ian, grow a freaking mustache and beard. You look like a high school senior. So thank you, Mike. Here's my suggestion. I don't know what I would look like, actually, with a mustache and beard. I've said before, with a mustache, I would look like a chubby porn star. So maybe if you're inclined, Michael or anybody, Photoshop my face with some facial hair and send it into the webmasters at Coast to Coast AM, and we'll see whether or not it actually helps me not look so much like a high school senior. Fluppet said the same thing. Ian, do you know that you would look just like Commander William Riker on Star Trek Next Generation if you had a beard? I don't think I would look like Jonathan Frakes, I think. Jonathan Freaks, maybe, but I'll ask number one. And these two email came in back to back, both from women, regarding last week's show with Stephen Quayle about giants, when he started talking about giant sex and the giant anatomy of giants. And Elizabeth wrote, I think Stephen Quayle needs to study some basic biology and anatomy. Your last female caller made the simple point about objects occupying a space. There's simply not enough room. Try shoving a large carrot up your nose, she writes. And Stephen Quayle's comment about women's bodies having room for a baby's head? Please, has he ever heard of the word episiotomy? And also from the Frogster on this. Did you happen to notice that most of your callers toward the end of the show last week were women? Goes on to say, tells you a little bit about what us listening ladies are interested in hearing. However, your last female caller was really hysterical. She was honestly trying to figure out just exactly how a woman could possibly have accommodated the more interesting side of a giant's personal life, shall we say, without dying. You guys were dancing all around that question. All I have to say is, once again, you asked the burning questions us girls wanted to know. I think burning is actually the operative word, and we'll leave it there for now. And thank you, everybody who writes and listens. We do the best we can with replies, just as we do with phone calls. We have time for Ron, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM. Ron?
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
Good. Just have a little time for you.
Yeah, 1981, I lived in Oregon. Took a bicycle trip with three friends for a week and stopped in the middle of a remote wilderness area for a break and heard a fairly similar scream to what you were playing earlier, and we're all convinced that it was Bigfoot. There are a number of Bigfoot sightings and other activity in the Ohio area, and I think that is what you've been playing.
Now, let me play the non-looped version of that scream. Does this sound like what you thought you heard that night? Roll it. All right. Is that it?
Yeah, I didn't hear it in quick succession like that. What we heard was an extraordinarily amplified howl, like they have played on some of the Bigfoot websites. And it sounded like the, you know, I was probably within 100 yards of it, and the sheer magnitude of it stood our hair on end, and we took off and never looked back. But since then, after, like I said, looking at some of those Bigfoot websites and listening to some of those recordings, we're convinced that that's what we heard.
Well, that's very interesting. And we know from previous conversations with people who have been following that subject, too, that Bigfoot often sit while they eat. And that also kind of describes what Scott said he saw that night. So thank you for contributing. And we'll just have to leave that topic to be explored by George or Art in the days ahead, or if there's more for next week, I promise you I'll be on it too. But for now, we're going to do something which probably every smart person that I know would say cannot possibly be true. And we'll do it next on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett.